Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome once again to Waves of Glory. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I am your Marketplace Apostle. I am delighted to have you in the studio with us this morning and listening out there in Radio Land. Today's topic and this all of this month is going to be on self-esteem. And particularly in today, we're going to be talking about healing low self-esteem. We know without a doubt that there is no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Jesus bore 39 stripes for the healing of the nations. And normally we think of physical diseases, but I'm here to let you know that he has power to heal emotional diseases, mental diseases, spiritual diseases, and physical diseases. Our God is all powerful, and there is nothing that he can't do. We talked last week about self-esteem. Who do you say that you are? Because, beloved, self-esteem has less to do with what others think of you and more to do with what you discern about yourself. Who do you see when you stand in front of a mirror? Who do you decide that you are? It doesn't matter the size of your lips, your eyes, your nose, your body parts. That is not who you are. That is your earth suit. And if your earth suit doesn't look the way you desire it to look, you can change it, but you can also be comfortable in it, the way that it is right now. And it all starts with you, what you decide and who you decide that you are. When we find our identity in Christ, we discover we are fearfully and wonderfully made. First of all, we are sons and daughters of the King. We are of the royal family. We have been of the price, the precious blood of Jesus, which means we are very valuable in the sight of God. The Word lets us know that because God loved us so much, he was willing to give his only begotten Son, Jesus, to come to earth, to be brutalized by mankind, to die for us. That's how much we are loved. And when you understand how much you are loved, you will begin to value yourself. Regardless of what others do, what others value you is none of your business. Excuse me. How others value you is none of your business. We find that we were designed for a specific purpose and equipped to succeed. Everything about us is beautiful and powerful. We are powerful beyond our imagination. Today we learn to fight back against the negative thoughts that come to our mind concerning ourselves. We learn to stand up and to speak out. It's time for you to shine like never before. There's a poem that we're going to share at the end of our broadcast today by Marianne Williamson that says, "Our greatest fear." And that is the problem with self-esteem. It is based and rooted in a spirit of fear. You fear that you're not good enough. You fear that people's opinions of you is true. You fear that you will be a failure in life. These roots, this thing that comes out of the root of fear comes directly from the pit of hell. But I am here to declare unto you today that God has sent me in your midst to bring healing to your wounded spirit. God loves you with an everlasting and an unconditional love, and there is no power in earth or in heaven that can separate you from the love of God. So today, as you know that you are loved by God, understand how great is that love concerning you. The first thing I like to talk to you about today is some of the things that influence self-esteem. And it begins from the time that we are born. You know that when you get a beautiful little baby in the house, that child has a particular personality all its own. And here we are, and the people around that child are going to begin to shape that person into the human being that they need to be. And so people around you can influence your self-esteem. They can speak into your life good things, tell you how wonderful you are, what a great little guy or girl you are, what a beautiful little child. And we start in the beginning speaking goodness and good things over that baby. But as the child begins to grow, and maybe he or she will begin to be curious or develop a strong-willed personality, maybe a little bit stubborn like the parents, praise. And then we begin to speak negatively and say, well, you are so bad. That is the wrong information to begin to program to a little child, is to speak negatively over that child. Perhaps the things that they're doing are not to your liking. Perhaps those things could even be labeled as bad. But never, never, never begin to label your child as bad, because the more you speak, the more they become what you have spoken. Words have power. Words have power. So if you have someone in your life today who has low self-esteem and is suffering from even some trauma, from some childhood drama, you can be the catalyst to heal that broken spirit. You can begin to speak life over that person. You can begin to cause them to see the good things that they have in their life, the thing that about them that is wonderful, the thing about them that is beautiful. And trust me, when we have been created in the likeness of His image, there is something wonderful and beautiful about each one of us. So these factors that begin to shape our esteem can be, what do you call it, reversed. If there is something negative that has been hanging over your head all your life, someone has said to you, you are no good, your daddy was no good, your mama was no good, you're just like them, you're never going to grow, you're never going to amount to anything, you can choose today to reject those very words. You can choose to release the hurt that those words caused you, and again, praise God, to speak life. Even if there's nobody around you to speak life into you, you speak life into yourself. For the word of God declares, excuse me, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and that, praise God, we will enjoy the fruit of our speech. So if you want to be more than you feel that you are today, begin to say to yourself, that God has spoken concerning you. Last week we talked about how He says that you are the apple of His eye, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When you stand in front of a mirror, and do stand in front of a mirror. I have known some people who were so broken and wounded in spirit that they weren't even able to look themselves in the eye in the mirror because of what others have said. Let me tell you today, others not in control of who you believe that you are. That God has definitely and purposefully in your own control. You can't control what other people say. You can't control what they think. You can't control how they feel about you. But however, you can control how you think about you, how you feel about you, and what you say about you. Other people's reactions to you is not in your control. This is one of the worst influences of low self-esteem, is we waste too much time trying to comply to somebody else's idea of who we are. It is not your responsibility to conform to the image that somebody has of you. It is your responsibility to conform to the image of Christ that is inside of you. My goodness, I'm excited about this today. I'm trying to slow down, kind of calm myself a little bit, but I really am tired of people holding their head down and thinking bad of themselves simply because of what other people are saying. We have an epidemic of bullying in our school system, in the workplace, wherever we are, sometimes even in the body of Christ, because people get caught up in the opinion of others. And I want to set you free from that foolishness today. Praise God. I'm going to go now to one of our callers in the studio. I don't know if they want to speak on the line today or simply are tuned in to listen, but I want you to, if you have an opinion on self-esteem today, I want you to feel free to voice that opinion. Your opinion matters. It matters concerning you. It matters concerning events in the world. You have a right to your opinion. And we, today on Waves of Glory, are delighted that you have joined us in the studio. Caller number one, your last four, 6324, are you calling in to speak on self-esteem today or just listen in?
Good morning, my sister. How are you? I have a comment. This is a surprise.
All right. Give us your name first.
Daniel.
Daniel. All right, Daniel. Thank you very much. Go ahead and comment.
Well, you know what? This comment is about me. I'm 44 years young. I am a licensed minister, trying to do the right thing for my wife and I. We had recently moved to North Dakota from Arkansas a couple weeks ago because of her job. And she had a great job as addiction counselor where she's working on her master's. But you know what? My family has not been happy with the move. And I don't understand why not, because I believe if you're trying to do better in life, God may have to move you away from your family for his glory. My wife, she's in California. She moved from California to Arkansas for school purposes. And they were happy about that. But I won't be long-winded if I'm trying to make this short. But I told my mother that we're moving to a new state. She had an issue with this. Not, I'm happy for y'all. Let me help you for a little bit on money and stuff. It was a struggle. But now that we're up here, my wife has worked since day one once we got up here. So the job was promised. It wasn't a blind move. It was a faith move. But I've been looking for work, and I have not yet found work just yet. But I'm still looking. That's work within itself. But my self-esteem was low with my own family, but against me. And, you know, it came to a point where I broke down in tears because I had no support from my family. So God said that, you know, when mother and father forsake you, then I will take you in. And my only weapon right now is prayer and faith. I've been praying for new work, for new experiences on the job field, and I've been in faith that he is going to open a door. I did not believe for 1 second that he brought us 1,400 miles plus from Arkansas to North Dakota to suffer. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I just don't understand why my mother has not found the concept in that. Now, she has called every now and then to see how we're doing, but maybe I'm looking for a call from her that says, do you need anything? I know she don't have a lot, and that's fine, but every little bit helps, even prayer. If she can just pray for us. I mean, she's been against us since day one. And I think we're not parents just yet, my wife and I, but I feel as a parent, you should have your child's back, no matter if they're doing things positive. You know, you may be scared what they're going through, but have the support, because the child needs the parents. You know, and I don't want to get too emotional, but it's still heartbreaking how my mother feels about this. And she doesn't want me to. It's like I'm tied to her umbilical cord still. Like, I'm 44 years old. It's time to let go. Let me do my own. When I fail, you know, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to keep everything in line. But if you are God's child, then you shouldn't say negative things by anybody, let alone your children. So,
Absolutely. Yeah,
once upon a time, my self-esteem was shot. But it's coming back up. And I'm thanking God in advance for whatever job he gives me to help out. Because I'm not a man who was raised that since my wife worked, I ain't got to work. That's not how I was raised. Now, I want to work. But if you don't work, you ain't going to eat. And when Adam was in the field, Adam took a break, and he went back to work. I want to have the Adam-like mentality on working. So it's frustrating.
Then, Daniel,
yes, it is.
Let me address the self-esteem issue. The thing, you may be wounded by the attitudes or the comments of others, but self-esteem has to deal with how you feel about you. You may fail at a particular project. However, that does not make you a failure. It may make the methods or the type of thing that you try to do a failed event, but you are never a failure because you are created in the likeness and the image of God, and the greater one lives on the inside of you. Therefore, you will never be a failure. You may fail at certain things, but you yourself will never be a failure. You will simply discover things that work and things that don't work. And I think as the body of Christ, we need to lose that word failure and understand that we can do all things through Christ. Sometimes we need to readjust the way that we're doing those things. Sometimes the tried and true methods won't work for us because of who God has created us to be and because of the way he is ordering our steps. And then we may not be in step with what God wants because the perceived way of accomplishing a thing is not what God is saying for us. So my caution to you or my admonition to you this morning is to, first of all, forgive anyone who has spoken negatively concerning you and your wife or your moves or whatever that you're doing for your life. Just forgive them and then ask God to heal the hurt. And that's going to be something we'll do at the end of the program today. We're going to pray for those who have been brokenhearted by words and actions of others. And I know that experiences at home, school, or work, or even in your community can influence the way you look at yourself, but we want today to turn ourselves to our identity in Christ so that when you step forth into work, when you step forth into school or your church, family, or even just going to the grocery store, that you walk in the knowledge of who you are in God, regardless of whether you have a job or not. The Word of God declares that a man's life is not consisting upon the amount of things that he has. That is no measure of success in the eyes of God. The measure of success in the eyes of God is that you would fear God and keep his commandments. If you are that, my brother, you are at the pinnacle of success in the eyes of God, and really all that matters. Can you say amen to that?
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. The Bible lets us know that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I know that as a minister of the gospel, understand how important it is to fill our spirit man up again and again with the Word of God. And so to go into his Word and to read that Word and to think on the things that are meant to build you up. There's a particular scripture, I believe it's Philippians 4:8, that gives us specifically the things that our thoughts are supposed to be based on, because low self-esteem is a product of negative thinking. Sometimes when people say stuff, especially people that we love, we begin to mull that thing over and over and over in our head, and it becomes a thought, and that thought begins to take root in our heart, in our spirit man, and then we begin to kind of agree with it, unconsciously or subconsciously agree with that thought when it is not true. It is not true. Let me say it again. It is not true. And so what we're going to do is retrain ourselves and renew our minds by thinking on things that are good, that are lovely, that are of good report, that are honest. And when we fill our mind with that particular word from the scripture and begin to think on the beautiful wife that you have, the blessing that she is, the capacity that she has to grow for yourself, the fact that God knew who you were when he called you. He knew he was going to send you to North Dakota. He knew that there would be no support system outside of you and your wife. But God wants you to know today, my brother, that he is supporting you completely and fully, and you will go forward and receive that which God has ordained and planned for your life. For he says in his word that he has plans for you to bring you to an expected end, to prosper you and not to harm you. And I want you to think on that word this morning, that God has a plan to prosper you while you're in North Dakota, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and that he will indeed cause you to become the head and not the tail. Amen. I really get excited about esteem, because God has put that in your control. He's put that in our control this morning to declare who we are in him. It's already been decreed. You are a royal son of God. Then you begin to declare it throughout the atmosphere and choose the job that you want, the type of job that you want, and begin to believe God for that particular job. And I will indeed agree with you in prayer this morning that God will fulfill his promises concerning you. Our thoughts are our biggest impact on our self-esteem. So don't allow other people to give you the thoughts about yourself. You need to take charge. We need to take charge. Another thing that influences self-esteem sometimes is our social status or our financial status. And once again, the Word of God lets us know that's irrelevant. How much money you make or don't make, whether or not you wear a brand name or don't, has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. Your identity is set, it is secure, and once we recognize who we are, we can begin to operate in dominion, because this is what God has given unto his children, to operate in dominion even over negative circumstances that appear in our lives. I believe it's Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against you, not even a word that's a weapon that's created by words. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but every tongue that rises against you will be condemned. And I would like to say all to the whole radio audience this morning that we need to begin to focus on God as our source for everything. I know we would love for people to step in and help us, and sometimes God will use people. Well, most of the time he will use people, but it may not be the people that we're thinking he's going to use. So let's turn our focus today to keep focus on God in all things, not worrying about tomorrow. There's another thing that hinders self-esteem, because we look at where we are today and we begin to formulate in our mind where we're going to be tomorrow with regard to who we are, what we have today. And we say, I don't have any money today and it's going to be a bad week and I don't have any money, or I don't have. I want you to turn your focus today on the blessings that are in your life. And when you understand that you have been chosen, that you have been purposed, and you have been equipped for success, when you think on those things, your self-esteem will begin to be uplifted. You will begin to see yourself as God sees you. And when we see ourselves the way that God sees us, we become powerful. The Word of God declares to us to let your light so shine so that men can see your good works. There is a light on the inside of each one of us that has been particularly and purposefully placed there by God. And it comes forth as the things that we are capable of doing. So I want each of my radio listeners this morning to begin to take inventory of the things that you are capable of doing. Just make a mental list and then actually sit down and begin to write out, what things am I capable of doing? I mean, it may be something very small, as in baking a cake. It may be something huge, as in whatever you consider to be huge, writing a book or writing a song, becoming a rock star. I don't know what it is, what your capacity is, but I want you to look this morning inside and find your capacity to do something and then write that down. Stop focusing on the outward environment and begin to focus on the kingdom within you, because indeed the kingdom of God is on the inside of you, and you have access to all of the rights and privileges as a kingdom citizen, not only a citizen but a member of the royal family. Something likewise that influences our esteem is illness, disability, or injury. And so I want to say something to those that may be experiencing a low self-esteem because you may have been sick for a while, you may be disabled, you may have a physical injury, but once again, your outer man is only your earth suit. if you would take a look around you at people who have the same disability, illness, or injury, and see the positive things that they're doing in life. People with no arms are becoming motivational speakers. People with no arms, but maybe they have feet, and they're becoming great artists because they learn how to adapt and paint with their feet. Let me tell you, there is nothing impossible. There is no limitation on you. As far as being sick today, our God is a healer, and we are going to believe him for the healing of that illness today, whether it be emotional, physical, financial, mental, or spiritual. Our God is able today to do all things, everything but fail. He wants us to rise up today and become the great ones that he said in this day. We would do greater things than Jesus himself did. We would have a greater impact. Before we close today, before we start to pray, I should say, some method of overcoming self-esteem a long time ago, we were to say, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? But today, I don't want you to even focus on weaknesses, because we know everyone has weaknesses. Everyone has flaws. And if you continue to focus on your weaknesses, you continue to perpetuate them. So today I'm going to give you a new assignment, and that's focus on your strength. Focus on your power. Focus on the good things that are inside of you. Forget about the flaws. If you focus on the goodness that is in you, you're going to become stronger and stronger in that area. You're going to begin to be creative and productive in that area. You're going to bring forth good works, and God's name is going to be glorified. As we close today, our greatest fear is a poem by Marianne Williamson. And she says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And that's been a poem by Marianne Williamson. And I want to thank God for the scripture in Isaiah chapter 61 that lets us that the anointing in our lives today will mend the broken heart. Do you hear me, Brother Daniel? The anointing in your life will mend the broken heart. As you listen to the prayer this afternoon, this morning, as I begin to pray, release and let the anointing of God flow in and out of you, in over your circumstances, and let your broken heart be mended. And then be empowered by that very same anointing. For the word of God declares he will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for Brother Daniel calling into the studio, and also for those who are listening via the internet today. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that they will begin to experience the power of understanding who they are in you, that their identity is formulated in you. We are created in the likeness of your image. We are royal children of God, and there is no weapon formed against us. We are unstoppable because all things are possible to them that believe. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer of the broken heart today. And in Jesus' name, for that one who is sick in their body, I declare that you are made whole by the stripes of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of God. I thank you today, Father, for those that are mentally ill today, who are depressed, even in their spirit man, and I destroy the yoke of depression. I command the joy of the Lord to come over them even now, and they will begin to praise you, O God, for the good things that are in their life. I declare that their minds will begin to shift from thinking negative thoughts about what's going on in their life, and they will begin even this hour to focus on the good that you have bestowed upon them. I thank you, and I give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Let this word go forth over the airways, and let every yoke be broken. Let every chain be broken. Let every captive be made free, and every prisoner be set free from even images and thoughts of the mind. This I pray in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you all once again and say this has been Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you from Waves of Glory, saying to you, you are not here to be average. You're here to be awesome. We hope to see you once again on next Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are taking the kingdom by force. God bless you.
Thank you.